Glory to his name. He's gotten some glory through this meeting. Remember I said the other night, I think other day, this is a spiritual meeting. It's a spiritual meeting. We learned so much. We've made some friends. I'm just so thankful for the friends. This is my first one. And I'm just so, you know, I really appreciate the hospitality of those of you coming in and just really, you know, accepting me and receiving me. It's been a blessing. I feel it. My wife and I, we're really thankful for that. And let's get in this. This is good stuff right here. This is something we need. And I want to jump right in it. I want you to go ahead and find, well, go ahead and find 1 Samuel again. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let's look at that again and use it to bounce in. I want to deal with the potential today. Potential. You hear people, oh, they got potential. Well, we really don't know if a person really has potential until we see the capacity, until we see their capability, what they're capable of doing, which means we got to kind of like prove them or test them a little bit. Sort of like, what, 2 Timothy 2:2? We used to do that. When I first came in the independent circle of fundamentalism, it was like, you prove them. It's like, who is this Cheney guy? Where did he come from? They drilled me about 2 hours in my ordination. I had to answer everything from the Bible. I mean, it was like, you know, prove people, test people, make sure they have the capacity to reach the potential that we think we see or we think we know. And sometimes we don't know because we haven't recognize the capacity level of that person. And we need to be able to do that. And David, and we'll go back to David here. David, and then we'll get something in the New Testament where it was recognized. But David, somebody recognized the capacity and went back to Saul and say, Saul, I saw a son of Jesse. That son of Jesse, man, listen, he has the capacity to come in and encourage you with music. If somebody's going to be in the choir, they're going to be faithful. You want to do special music? Everybody different. I remember when I was in this one setting, if you weren't faithful in the choir, you didn't get to do special music. Well, I'm not telling, you know, my God, but I'm just saying, show me something. Show me something. And so let's just look at verse 17 again. Let's get down to verse 17 there, chapter 16, and we'll move quickly through this to get somewhere else. And Saul said unto his servants, these are the faithful servant. This is just all of us. It's like, the leader is coming to us. It could be the leader of a ministry, and in most cases for this, the pastor. Provide me now a man that can play well, special music. Can work on the quartet, the trio. Not one that think he can sing, but can sing. You got a lot of guys like, hey, why they never ask me? Well, it's a reason. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but there's a reason. Come over and take this class for a little bit and let us work with you for a little bit first. But what you want to do with that person, you want to put them over in the bus ministry to do the bus meeting. You want to put them over in that nursing home. You want to get them used in the Sunday school class. And maybe they might need the skills just sharpening a little bit there. Maybe they do have something underneath. And once this exercise, we see it. And then we move past her. She's ready. He's ready. Maybe you might want to even have a nursery in your own Sunday school class just to see who's ready. And then we can go back. They're ready for the nursery. I use this to get the head usher of our church. I've used this to get the best bus captains in our church that was bringing two busloads in. that was bringing nothing in for, and most of them was rejects. Most of it was people nobody wanted to work with because they didn't see a, quote, potential. Are you with me? I want to come back to potential. So let's be careful about that. And matter of fact, one staff member, I remember, that came and would become our security, logistics, on staff, was one of those rejects. I gave him the opportunity to do some security, do some logistic with the kitchen. Okay, we're going to set up this thing. What? How would you set this up? How would you bring them in? Is there a faster way to get them fed? And I just, whoa, this guy got something. Okay, so let me organize a special event, maybe for junior church. Just let that lady, that guy exercise that gift. Are you listening? We're talking about multiplying. And when we multiply, we balance the load. All right, I just want to make sure bring you guys back into this, and we'll do some teaching. But this is important. And as I would go around and work with staffs and train staffs, and then set up a meeting, Brother Phil Burke and a couple of meetings over in Virginia we set up, and back in the States, out of the States, certain islands, and it's like I want to bring the right people in for the right occasion. Somebody that has the potential. I'm not looking for somebody that can preach. But I'm looking for somebody that can help with the preaching. Everybody's okay with that? All right, okay. And so here, let's look back at 17. Provide me now a man that can play well. That's important. If you underscore in your Bible, you might want to underline that one and use that when somebody want to do something. Well, can you do it well? If not, let's learn to do it well. Then we'll bring you back around. And bring them to me. Amen? And then bring them to me. And then answer one. I like that message on one. There's a one. Make sure you're like Abigail. What do you mean? The one that came to Abigail about the blockhead that wouldn't listen. There's some blockheads that won't listen. But make sure you have an Abigail. Even if you don't listen well, make sure you have someone around you that listens. Because they'll go to Abigail, and Abigail will get it. Okay? And so we want to be where people have the liberty to come to us. You heard a preacher say last night, hey, come to me. I'm all right. But we, this person, okay, again, saw it. It says this. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen, not I heard. I heard about it. We hear a lot of things on social media. We hear a lot of secondhand stuff from people. No, this is not I've seen it. This is a fact. A son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing. He's skillful. But not only is he skillful, it mentions, and mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and comely person, and the Lord is with him. Now, I want you to see something. You must, the armor bearer must be courageous. See where it says? A mighty valiant man. Okay? That's a courageous person. Boldness. Courage. Joshua had to have courage. Then when Joshua got the courage, he went to his officers and they got the courage. Okay? And so it needs to be some courage, because that courage is going to go down through the chain. Okay? That boldness, you know, you really love to cast out fear. So they got to have some charity, we've been learning for the last year. A love, the love of the Father, you know, that love that would cast out the fear on the bus route to go places where nobody else want to take the route. Okay, I wish it was a route came through my hood. I know you call them neighborhood, but it was the hood. They didn't want to go up in the hood. So I didn't get the gospel. People didn't have the courage. Preaching we heard today was people with courage. Take courage to stand up and say some of the things that's been said at this conference. We need young men to have the courage. And so that's an important thing there. Now look at the second thing about him. It says this, and a man of what? War. You see it in your Bible? He's a teenager, but he's a man of war. Me and Fisher did a conference once somewhere, and we just talked about young people, getting your young people involved and getting through the school and getting, because when I would go out, so when I always took the kids with me, I didn't put them in child care and make the other leaders do it. I took the 7-year-olds, the juniors and with me, juniors for 8, 9, 10, they're out. And I'm like, hey, look at that, up in that tree playing. Go get them. They've been trained. Hey, look over there on the sliding board. Go get them. You know who my next generation of outreach leaders was going to be? One of them. Because I'm trying to find their capacity so I can see a potential. So we can allow our ministry to go from generation to generation and not become a dead church. All right, just rethink some of the things we're doing. Even on the route, I would take them on the bus route. You know who my bus worker would be? Hey, go get them. They go in there and get them. They was getting one signed up. I couldn't get signed up. But the war is this. Having some spiritual warfare experience. What do you mean? Just being familiar maybe with the devil's devices, perhaps. Just maybe reading that book on the toolbox, his tools or something. What is it? Satan's tools, devices. First book me and my wife read before we even got here. Checking y'all out. But the book's out and passed out. But that make sure they have some. Because if they don't, watch it now. When God brought Israel, the Hebrews, out of Egypt, he didn't take them the way of the Philistines. Did he take them away of the Philistines? Because they might see war and what? Change their mind and go where? Right back in the world, the known world. And I've watched so many saved people go back into the world because we put them in something that they didn't have the capacity for, less at the potential. Got to train them. And Jesus did his training side by side. Had one up right here. I'm going to let you get sift a little bit. Had three right here. No, we're not calling down fire. Had three right here. No, we're not going to do it that way. No, we're not going to run them off. Hey, they don't have to be in our camp if they doing what they're doing. Don't stop them. Let them alone. Hey, let her alone. Let her alone. She come here to nurse me for the burial. And so Jesus was training. And he had them there. We got to do more training. We can trust those we really train. Okay? Everybody's okay? Well, they need to be around the prayer meeting. I would have all-night prayer meetings before a major event like this. Right, Sam? And men's all-night prayer. Start at 10 and go to 6. You say, oh, I don't want to do that. Well, you don't want no great meeting. You don't want to see souls saved. You don't want to see lives change. You don't want to see the next generation come up. Remember that mountain I took you up to pray? I took 250 men up a mountain to pray. Was you there that time? I don't know if you did. 250 pastors, missionaries. Spread them out in different places. You don't need the mountain, but Jesus went up sometime to get away. Moses went up to come or get away. I mean, there was a lot of things happening. I like going up there. I can cry, "Oh, God!" And nobody hear me but the coyotes. We prayed and we watched miracle after miracle after miracle happen after that. I'm just saying, we need some people that understand a little something about spiritual warfare. Maybe even have a spiritual warfare conference. So, but this guy did as a teenager. Now, the other thing is, look at him. Look at this thing. This is important right here. And prudent in what? What's the word? Business. You got to let them do some. That's what I'm saying. You got to just get a system. Somebody got to learn how to do that business that you do. Somebody got to learn how to operate, how to deal with those situations, how to put out fires. Somebody need to learn a little bit more people skill to go with their playing skills or their preaching skills. And so that's why I want to bring somebody alongside of me. That's why as a pastor, you got to like, look, I'm going to have to put somebody alongside of you. You have to be comfortable moving people around. Let me put them with this one so they can gain what they need to gain there to expand their capacity for the potential you see. Are you with me? And so you got to move people around so they can get what they need to reach their potential. So we're dealing with potential. And I didn't mean to stay here that long. But, you know, it doesn't matter how far we get. You know, we'll get it. You know, you can get some books or something on it or whatever. But let's just get something out there right now, okay? Now, look at this second thing. Now, none of us look good. None of the men in here. We can't qualify for that one. The comely person, unless your wife just, you know. Because when she first saw you, she was like, "Wow, what a man. Wow." Then, I don't know how many years passed by, came in there like, "What in the world did I get?" But, you know, so none of us can really fit. But he was like, "Wow." Just mess around there a little bit, soften up a little bit. But hey, now, you know, we need to keep it together, God. Maybe do some push-ups or something. I don't know. I don't know. Whatever. Take the trash out or something. Cut the grass. I don't know. But anyway, here we go. This guy, right? Watch him now. He handled business. And it's different ways. That's why we want a secretary in every class. Want a finance person in every class. I know you could do it. I know you could do it, but we want somebody else to do it. Because we want to multiply. And we want to see where they are. And we want to hear from that teacher saying, "Hey, I think this one got some secretary skill. Oh, well, let's send the secretary over. Let them have a little coffee with the secretary, and we'll see what they really got." We got a plan. Okay, just work with us. But this guy can handle a bit. But here's the last one. That's probably the most important one. And probably the reason why he have all the other stuff going for him is this. The Lord is what? That servant saw it. So many times we don't see the Lord's with our children. Especially when they become teenagers. We miss it. And they recognize they're being rejected. They recognize they're being disvalued. And they see double standards. Well, this is not a youth. This I won't go into that one. That's I say that for the children, parenting, and all that kind of stuff. But right here, somebody saw the Lord. Somebody saw the hand of God, the handwriting of God on the wall, like I hope we see it in this meeting. And if we see it in this meeting, we're going to go tell somebody else. We're going to tell another preacher, "Hey, look, I know where you need to go." Now, if I had to help you to get there because you're a little bit low on funds, others. If I need to find somebody to preach your midweek service, I send them over there to take care of that because you need this. This is going to be good for your church. It's going to be good for your wife, for your family, for your community. Your ministry, everybody's all right? Well, make sure, because sometimes this doesn't come out of here kind of, you know, everybody's all right. So, look, we want somebody that, Brother Gunther went back to Galatians 5, spiritual. That's why he starts out in 6:1 with the spiritualness. He's coming off of chapter 5. He's coming off that walking in the spirit, not fulfilling, you know, he's talking spiritually here, the love, joy, peace, long suffering, I mean, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and what? Temperance, which is not really self-control. It's God having everything under control. It's me handing it over, yielding to God so it can be under control, because when self-control fail to control self, it indulges. I need to say that again, maybe preach on that. Indulge into pornography, indulge into anything. But when it's spirit control, you don't have to worry about it. Everybody's okay? Because I'm having a good time up here. I'm like, bless God. But we need to see the leading of the Spirit of God. We need to see the touch of God on them. Because we're going to put them in a position where other people, they can hurt. That they can run off. And they start in fires that we got to go put out when we're trying to do something else over here as a pastor. You're trying to take care of this. You're trying to do this. You can't even enjoy the meeting because you're on the phone putting out fires back home. Somebody know what I'm talking about? If you stay in this thing long enough, you will. And so, we need to see them walk with God. Now, that can be anywhere. Put them in the kitchen. Put them anywhere. You got to stop doing everything yourself. You got to. Train up others. There's a lot to say about that. But let's look at David real quick here, chapter 17. Now, I'll tell you something that happened. You turn to chapter 17, David, either in your mind, on the pages, or whatever, but when Jonathan and his armor bearer went up, remember how they went up? Jonathan had the sword. It's amazing. The pastor, let the pastor handle the word around here, okay? If he want to put the Sunday school lessons out in everybody's class and you follow that, look, only Jonathan and Saul had the sword. I didn't stay there long, okay? They know how to sling the sword, okay? Everybody don't have a sword. But that's okay. But anyway, Jonathan coming through with that sword, whack. That armor bearer coming with his little hoe. All right, get in there. Whack, whack, whack. Yeah. Jared, you think you can sling a hole? You think you can hit that hole like that? Think you can do that? Huh. You guys think you can do that? Look, can you do that? Any of us can do that. We might not know how to use that sword yet, but you can go up to the door with the sword winner that knows how to use the sword, and they might let you when they see they got it under control, because look, she doesn't need to look back to make sure you're doing your job, because she look back, she can get whopped. He can get whopped. And it's spiritual warfare at them soul winning doors. Dogs start barking, phones start ringing, husband, what you doing out there? I mean, all kinds of stuff happening. So maybe your horse swinging is praying. Whatever, we deal with that in a soul winning meeting. But the thing is, they don't need to look back. But when they got it all under control, they might just give you the sword and say, okay, because they see this one over here, knee shaking, you done saw with her. They might, all right, go whack him one. So you get to, get in there and whack him, right? And you'll be okay with it. Everybody's all right with that? I'm just saying we got to train them a little bit at a time, a little at a time. And when you're training many, then you're not in a hurry because somebody's popping up all the time. So make sure you train many and you'll watch like, man, they just keep popping up. They keep popping up. Keep popping up. And so what happened, though, when Jonathan And this armor bearer did that. You remember what happened? It was a trembling. God said, okay, let me really get in on it now. God's like, okay, let me bring some other folks. Let me get me some real honor now, partner Red Sea. Let me get some real honor now. So everybody will know. Get to Jericho, they'll know on the wall of Jericho. Everybody going to know Rahab. Everybody going to, let me do something so everybody will know. He called a big trembling. And those the enemies start turning the sword on themselves. You remember that? Look what happened. Those two men caused the ones that was traitors. Because if you read chapter 13, many of them had went over and joined the Philistine, Israelites. And many of them was hiding in caves, in rocks, in the thickets, in the pits. They was cowards. And they was hiding, turncoats, and they was cowards. And many, the ones that was with Saul was trembling, it says. Go back and read chapter 13. They was trembling. But here's what happened. After Jonathan and that armor bearer said, turn, I'm with you. I'm with your heart. What's in your heart? I'm with it. And they went on up there. And after that, they came out of the thickets. They came out of the caves. They came out of the rocks. And they fell in formation. Those ones were trembling. They said they assembled themselves. And the other ones came in and joined them. And then the ones that was turncoats went over and became working with the Philistines. They got back in the camp. They got back in line. And when they went in there, guess what? They didn't even have to do anything. But the point is this. They made a difference. They caused a rally. Two. Not the one, but the two. As an armor bearer, you can cause a rally to happen in the church. You bring that armor bearer in that ministry and it just really blow up. Now you bring that armor bearer in, now you got the orchestra. Look, you got the orchestra all down here on the floor. That's what happened at my church. That's at my church. Now you got the choir, you got to have part. You have the choir number one, choir number two. Now you got sound, you got sounds for everything. You got the sound crew for this. I had a full ladies sound crew for a ladies meet that we didn't want any men in there. Somebody listen? Why? Because of Christ. More people to reach their potential. More people to use their gifts. And so that's what we saw, and you see it with David. Somebody went and told Saul what they heard David saying. Remember, David was like, hey, what are we going to do about this guy? Who's the guy think he is talking about? My God and my God's people. Just who do you think he is? Everybody else is like, did you see him? God, David like, hey, did you see God? Don't you know who God is? I mean, don't you know God is unlimited? Well, a few or many. Jonathan caught that. That's why Jonathan and David connect. Jonathan understood that. Are you listening? There's some Davids around you. They just not in the lineup yet. All right, I didn't mean to preach. I said I'm going to come in and just teach and say, write this down, you know, forgive me, if you know what I mean. I'm just, man, passionate about this thing because I know what it can do. I know how it works. And so just jump down to verse 37 of chapter 17. And I don't mind skipping over this thing, but you got to know somebody told Saul about David that saw something, and somebody here saw and heard something, and they went to Saul. What are people saying about you? What are people saying about you? What are people going to the pastor saying about you? What are they saying about you? Pastor Collinworth back there. Did I come to you, Pastor Collinworth, and say something about somebody? Remember I said something good about some young man? What are they saying about you? What do they see in you? Do they see God? You're trying to convince people, man, give me a chance. Hey, I'm here. Let me do it. What are you showing them? What are you showing them? I'm talking to the young people here. All right? And then I know a lot of them out here. I'm just saying, I like getting them going because that's that next generation. Verse 37, watch it. David said, moreover, pastor talked about it in his message, the bear and the lion. Look who really took care of the bear and the lion. I know we give David credit, but look who really did it. Look what David said. This is from the horse's mouth, they say, the source. Look what he said. The Lord that what? Delivered me. Maybe good to underline that. Stop trying to deliver yourself. Because God's supposed to make a way of escape, but, you know, we find ourselves with the sledgehammer, and I'm getting out of this one. But would deliver me out of the paws, that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. God did it. David knew God did it. Somebody else saw what God did. Nobody's giving man credit here. All the credit going to God. And we need our children to see us giving God the credit. We need the church seeing us giving God the credit. Oh, great priest, great message, great priest. Well, praise God. God did it. Look, if you know where I came from, I was the guy over in the hood. I was the guy in the hood. The introvert that only came out when, you know, that was me. He will, not can. This is not, well, you know, God can. He can if God wants to. No. What did he say? He will. Somebody need to understand will and underline will and start to just think about what God will do. You know how you know what God will do? You know how you know what God will do to this giant? You know how you know it? You look back and you see what God did here, what God did there, what God did here. When you need the rent paid, the mortgage paid, food and the gas, car, clothes, hospital. You just keep looking at what God did. When you get over here with that giant, you'll say, God will. Yeah. God's good, man. Look, God will. And so didn't mean to stay here that long, but that's all right. It's in the word. Deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Who do you think he is? He ain't bigger than God. He's not taller than God. He's not stronger than God. I don't care anything about his little armor bearer carrying his shield. David really went up against two. Y'all leave the armor bearer out of this thing. Remember, armor bearers got courage. It was more than one. But that's okay. That's another place. And Saul said unto David, watch it now. This is where I wanted to get to. This is what he said, Ruth. Saul said unto David, after he heard all about what God did, not what I did. See, we got too many young people. So I know where I'm at. And I teach homiletics. I know how it's supposed to really be done, according to man. But listen, you got to tell them what God did when you was out on the bus route, when you was out soul winning, when you was out this, when you had, you got to tell them what God did. You got to tell dad what God did. You got to tell mom what God's doing. You got to talk to pastor. You got to talk to us about what God's doing. Because once we see God, see, we don't know. Unless you say so, you want permission. Now, I know you bad. I know you can take that lion. I know you can take that giant down. But isn't it interesting that David got permission first? Huh? Go on and tell him what God did. Tell him what God did. Let him see what God did. Everybody's all right with me talking to them a little bit. I know it's pastors, you know what I'm saying? But it's okay. I mean, they're going to be the next pastors, hopefully. Prayerfully. But look what happened now. Look what Saul did. This is so important. Saul said unto David, what? Go. Yeah, you wanted to work on the bus, right? You want to be a bus captain? Yeah, go. I've seen God. Now you can be that. But yo, you want to preach over in this? Okay. Well, let's see if you can go preach over in the nursing home. See if you can go preach over to the juniors. See if you can preach to the primary. See if you're willing to go out there and preach on the street to whoever come by. Let me hear they saw you out there preaching to whoever came by. And you did it with wisdom. Handling matters. Well, you can preach without wisdom, you know. That was a big part of my homiletics class, the whole time on wisdom. And getting God, getting with God. Spending more time getting with God than in the sermon outline. And Saul said unto David, go. That's a big go right there. That's a lot of responsibility, accountability on the leader to say, go. Now, look, you say, well, I don't trust him. I would let him work in the college. I would let him work with me here, but I don't trust him. Well, you don't trust him because you don't know him. And you don't know what God's doing. If you see God, then you're really not trusting them. You're trusting who? God. He saw God. And he said, go, son. And the Lord, that God you was telling me about, that Lord you was telling me about, and he used Lord, and I like that because Lord also, Jehovah, Lord also is the boss. So you allow God to be the boss in your life? Oh, son, okay. I mean, even if I'm not watching, you doing what the Lord wants you to do? I like that, son. You're not eye-pleasing. I'm not telling that, but inside I'm like, okay. Go, and the Lord be with you. And he went. He went. Now, here's what we need to do as pastors. Here's what we need to do as leaders and staff. Here's what we need to do quickly. Here's what we need to do. This is 5 minutes. This is what we need to do. We need to see the Lord working in your leader's life. You need to see it. You need to look for spiritual discernment. You need to look for spiritual victories won. You need to look for spiritual growth. You need to see it. It's the first thing. I won't stay long. He saw it. He saw it. And somebody saw it down there in the other verses that brought him to the king. Now, here's the second thing. You need to show him favor. Favor. What do you mean favor? Grace. By the grace of God, we get to do what we do. Amen. By the grace of God, we are who we are. Yep. By the grace of God, somebody let us preach that 7-minute message that we was like, whoo, shoo. Yep. By the grace of God, people sit there and got through my first message I preached. We got to show grace. Let them in the kitchen. Let them in the sounds. Let them in the, gotta be careful with nurseries and stuff like that and juniors and primary. Be careful with that. We'll really help you with that one a little bit. But you can let them help sweep the floor, help clean up, help do something. And so show some favor to your leaders. Let them participate in bigger opportunities. Don't do it all yourself. Pastor Neil, he had to let go some stuff. Let me tell you, he let go some stuff. Okay, he heard, then he seen, then he saw, right, Pastor Philbert? Then he brought here so you could see something and he could see how that, you understand what I'm saying? Then it's like, you don't need to hold on now. Some of you holding on too tight. You got to trust God. You got to just see God and trust God and let him get involved. Show him some favor. Esther was shown favor. Ruth was shown favor. Joseph was shown favor. Daniel was shown favor with the prince of the eunuch. Without the favor, you get nowhere. Without giving them the favor, they'll never reach their potential or full potential. They'll never enter into it. Everybody's all right with that? Grace. And then look at the next thing here. Surrender some responsibility to your leader. They kind of go hand in hand. Show some favor. Let them participate. Remember, some small stuff. It's not going to hurt nobody if they mess up. You want them to fail. You learn from failure. Look, the failure helps sift you a little bit. Oh, I'm not who I thought I was. I wasn't as sharp as I thought I was. You know? And I like the Marines because I worked a lot with the Marines, and I guess I really wanted to be a Marine, but I couldn't be. I wasn't a Marine. And I was just telling you how whenever I would go down in the jungles of South America or Mexico, I did not go without the Marines. Did not want to go without the Marines. Proven. They weren't propped up. They were proven. Those guys I went with was proven. And the thing is, we need some proven people. Give them some favor and prove them. I've been on the parade ground. Man, everybody can't work out on the parade ground. Everybody don't know how to march, man. Them boys come through, man. Them boys know how to shoot. I forget what that one step Fish used to say, the fast pace or whatever he said. They were doing that step with that fast pace or something. But anyway, I worked with two Marines on staff. The principal was a Marine. Marine, I had to, a few of them I worked with. That Shane guy I told you about, Marine. And I'm not saying I don't want to use Marines, but I'm just saying some people have been taught to have honor, respect, and integrity to go along with the skills. Well, I want to see, God. But surrender some responsibility. Loose the grip. Loose the grip. In administration, loose the grip a little bit. Give them something to do. Fill out some papers, type up some stuff. Give them something to do as a secretary. Give them something to do. You need that help. Because once we get 100 Sunday school classes, you're going to need that help. Strengthen, watch it now, strengthens your leader in the Lord. Strengthen them in the Lord. You got to pray with them. God, lift them up. Encourage me. Look, let me say this. I know we heard this, and I can stop right there. I wanted to get over to Timothy, John. I did a Paul Timothy conference there in Virginia, and when had everybody bring their second, you call them the second person in or whatever, bring somebody you're interested in. But the thing here is that you got to encourage them. You got to encourage them. You got to build them up. You got to give them opportunity. You know why? You got to let them see you influence someone, Pastor. You got to let them see you inspire someone. Children, you done inspired the gym family. I mean, somebody need to see you inspire someone. Let your son come along with you and see you inspire somebody. See you influence. Inspire means open up, pour something in them. Influence, to move them. But then let them see you impact. Daniel and David. David, once he did that, when David killed Goliath, their knees wasn't shaking no more. They came together again. It was a rally. It's just so rousing. And so they need to see you impact. What? Somebody need to see you bring people together. They need to see it. And then guess what you do? You reproduce yourself. Now we're ready to what? Start another ministry. Start another class. Start another church. Plant another church. Through that guy that was preaching. Now you done seen them pastor the class. You done seen them pastor the bus route. You done seen them pastor in the nursing home. You follow me? You done gave them a few camp people to counsel. Some of the small stuff. Not Moses heavy stuff. And you see how they deal. You took them in with some heavy stuff with you. Now they ready. You ready to plant a church now. So that's what I did before I came to just plant churches. Remember you came to that conference I set up, Sam Philbert, church planters. Brought them in from India, from Cuba, I mean from everywhere. Look, we can plant some more churches. And we can plant them in another country. I went down to Mexico, Durango, where Gunther was from, down there a while, and planted a church. I went to Dominican Republic, Santo Domingo, to plant a church. Canada to plant a church. Are you listening? It's a lot we can do. But we're going to have to get in line. We're going to get in rank. And we got to be willing to get in somebody to work alongside of us. And we just got to learn how to do that. That way, the gospel multiplies. You say, oh, you're trying to just build a big church. No, when I say add and multiply, more getting saved. More churches getting planted. More missionaries. See, we had 20% growth in classes. That means a 20% growth in missions. Maybe more missionary or give missionary more. Because we're using our Sunday school classes. Each Sunday school class support a mission. Missionary. Are you listening, Pastor? A Sunday school class can support two or three. And so you get to multiply when you get this concept. Now, God bless you, and it's a lot more to say, but we need to teach them how to do the thing. We can't just tell them. I have two teachers. My daughters, one's a principal, and the principal. And they always trying to teach me English and everything, but I just don't want to know. I'm like, Dad, you don't say it that way. All right, I got you, you know. But they said the best way to teach is to show. They taught me that. Don't tell them, show them. What did Jesus do? He showed them. Showed them how to wash feet. Showed them how to feed those that was only there for the feed. They weren't even there for the word. Fed them anyway. Talking about others. Fed them anyway. We got to show them. No, we're not calling down fire on this guy. That person fell, we're not gonna tell everybody about him falling. You understand what I'm saying? They need to see it. We need to show them. We telling them from the pulpit, but we gotta show them in our life. Gotta show them. Gotta let them in close. Gotta let them lay their head on our chest if they wanted to. Get that close. Where John could hear his heartbeat, feel his breath on his brow. We gotta let them close. They're not close enough. If they was close enough, you'll know. When they get close enough, somebody on the other side will say, hey, John, ask him. Because they see that you let somebody in close enough that they can ask, to ask you. Because they're not really comfortable yet. There's some people that the one next to you can influence that you can't influence. But you can influence them through that one close to you. They can bring in what you can't bring in. Everybody's all right with that? All right, well, let's all stand on our feet. You had a long day, you had a good day. You can go get a good Baptist nap. I didn't get mine yesterday. Had a couple of meetings and different things, and it caught me when Pastor last night said, okay, let's stand up for the closing. I got up, man, I was like, whoa. You didn't see me doing that, but it was up here. It was like, whoa. Like, whoa, I stumbled over into the tent and got them black eyed peas. I swear that guy was preaching about fried chicken the other day. Get some fried chicken in here. I mean, I came alive. Fried chicken, black eyed peas, collard greens. You guys know how to win somebody around here. Hey, look, I might call all of them. No, I better not call all those over. No, but you can get some folks in here with this too. God's way. God's word. But them black eyed peas is good. If you got some more collard green, break them bad boys out. Because Jack Hyles used to talk about those a lot back over there in Indiana. He's out in California talking about collard green. It's a soul winning conference. He talked about collard green. So those are some popular collard greens. Hey, you better taste those greens if you haven't. They're the best you're going to get to taste. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. You're so good. Thank you for letting us have fun, meet some new friends, get in the word, get some conviction, get some confirmation, solidifying things with us, and teaching us your word and helping us. You've been so good to us. Lord, continue to bless us tonight. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you that we didn't leave. We heard what we heard this morning. We stayed. Thank you for those that stayed and got what they got this morning and what we're going to get tonight. Oh, God, you're not through. So bless us, give us a good rest, refresh us, and bring us back tonight with an excellent spirit and help us to have a great service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed.